The following audio is from Covenant Life Fellowship. For more information about our church, please visit us at www.clfroseburg.com.
So I was about 6 years old, and my dad took me to a circus. And there was a guy there doing extreme juggling. And I thought to myself, man, I want to learn how to do that. So on the way home, I asked my dad if he had 3 operational chainsaws that I could learn how to juggle with, because that's what I saw these guys doing, right? And so my dad says, no, son, you're not going to juggle chainsaws. But then I said, but yeah, but it's just not as cool. I mean, if you anybody can juggle beanbags or balls of some kind like this, and there's no risk to it. And my dad says, why don't you just take it one step at a time, son? Why don't you learn how to juggle first? And then you can work on, the next level. And so I started learning how to juggle. And if you can imagine, I just was a mess when you first start out learning how to juggle. But I didn't want to have anything to do with the beanbags and the balls. So I snuck into my dad's shop and I opened up the tool drawer and I look in there. What did I find? But screwdrivers. And I'm thinking, that's perfect. They twirl perfect. They got a big handle. So I start juggling screwdrivers, right? And so pretty soon I got pretty good at juggling these screwdrivers, and I'm going higher and higher and higher. And then all of a sudden, one day, I'm out juggling these screwdrivers, and I go to catch one, and all of a sudden, I experience a lot of pain, and I look down, and the screwdriver's standing straight up in the middle of my hand. And I've got a nice, large scar in the middle of my hand. You guys can see it later if you'd like. And I just sat there and stared at this screwdriver sticking out of my hand, and I'm just going, my dad was right. It was not a good idea to juggle screwdrivers. But 3 balls is almost nothing. Almost anybody can learn how to do this. Is there somebody in here that doesn't know how to juggle who would like to learn? Would you?
No, I just don't know how. Period.
You don't know how to juggle, but would you like to learn?
Sure.
Well, come on up here. Stand right next to me.
Yes.
Yeah. Tell me your name. This actually works out really well because Joshua. This is the whole point of this. Your name is what?
Joshua.
Joshua. Cool. I'm Dane.
Dane. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, Joshua. What's your last name?
Mason.
Joshua Mason. Cool. Yeah. I'm going to give you two balls there just to start with. This is the best way to do this. So are you from around here?
Nope.
Oh, where are you from?
Central Oregon.
Oh, we're in Central Oregon.
Bend.
Oh, right on. Spent a lot of time there climbing rocks and being a weirdo. Yeah, I fit in pretty well in Bend. Yeah. So Joshua, what I'd like you to do is I'm going to have you actually start with one. I'm just going to have you throw that ball up and catch it in the other hand. Bam. Okay, looks like we got an athlete. So go the other way. Okay, back and forth. Okay, back and forth. So right now, Joshua, what we're working on is consistency. I want that ball to come up and down, same spot, both hands, over and over and over again. Okay, ready? So I'm going to put this ball into this hand. Okay. Now what I want you to do, Joshua, is I'm going to have you throw this ball up just like you just did. But when you see it get to the very top, I want you to throw this ball up. And it's going to come down in this hand, okay? And don't worry about messing up.
Right.
What do you do for a living over in Bend?
General contractor.
Joshua is a general contractor who lives in Bend. What kind of stuff do you build?
Just exterior remodeling.
Exterior remodeling.
Yeah.
Awesome. There's a lot going on in Bend. That's great.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I grew up, my dad was a carpenter. So I built houses growing up from a little guy. So I'm feeling you. I'm feeling you a little bit. I'm feeling you. Okay, so ready? I'm going to give it a try. So I'm going to throw my right ball up, and when it gets to the top, you want to throw this one up just the same. Okay, go ahead and throw it. And that's fine. Up and throw that one. Nice. Try it again, Joshua. Try it again. Just go get a little lighter. Don't be nervous. Okay, that's fine. Oh my gosh, you just juggled. Oh, you just juggled. Do it again. Okay, so guess what? You just juggled. So you just juggled 2 balls, right? That's so now if we can hold this ball in this hand like that. So now all you have to do to be able to juggle, Joshua, is you're going to throw this ball up, and it's going to go up in the air. This one gets tossed.
Okay.
See? Okay, so let's give it a try. Let's give it a try. Hey, what's your favorite food?
Mexican.
You like Mexican food?
Si, senor.
What are you doing here in Roseburg?
Visiting family and hanging out with you guys.
Oh, no way. Yeah. Do you get over here often?
No, not as much as I'd like to.
Oh, do you work like a regular 9-to-5 type of job? No?
No.
Is it all over the place?
Yeah.
Huh.
Self-employed.
That's cool.
Kind of how self-employed.
Yeah, right. Do you like learning new things?
Yeah. But juggling, I've never really thought about learning how to juggle. I just raised my hand and be like, who does not know how to juggle?
Perfect. Way to go, sucker. Okay, so let's give it a try. Now, nobody's judging you here, right? Because everybody in here knows that you've never juggled before. So if you even get one stick on this thing, we're going to go nuts for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to try to throw. You can throw either one of those balls. I recommend that one. So just nice.
First.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Throw. Okay. That's okay. That's okay. Keep going. We might need you to shag. Good. Go throw a little higher.
No.
Yep. Throw a little higher. And throw. Nice. There it is. Holy moly! So tell me, Joshua. So do you think that you're gonna go home and try this now?
Sure.
Okay. So I'd recommend either hacky sacks or small bean bags. Those are the best for learning how to juggle.
Okay.
And keep going with it. I could come over to Bend. In fact, when we're done here, love to get your number. I could connect with you because I'm in Bend all the time. We could do more juggling, or you can teach me how to juggle because you're gonna get way better at it than me. And do you know how to throw a frisbee?
Yeah.
Oh, I love throwing frisbee. Yeah, all kinds of, any kind of frisbee you can do. Okay, so give Joshua a hand. Thank you, Joshua. That's great that he actually did it. It's great. That's fantastic. So what did I do right there? Made him really uncomfortable. I taught him how to juggle, right? I mentored him into juggling. I gave him a success, right? Never juggled before. He did it 2.5-ish, 3 times in a matter of minutes, okay? Now, I'm not a great juggler. I can do a few tricks with the ball, you know, whatever. But I taught a kid one time how to juggle. His name was Ben. Ben took to it, got really super serious about it to the point where he was starting to enter juggling competitions, and he could flash 9 balls at a time. That means that there are 9 balls in the air at any given moment. His hands move so fast, they're like, and these balls are just flying through the air. He's that good. And then in the midst of 9, he would usually grab one, put it in his pocket, grab another, put it in his pocket, so he only had 7, because that's easy. And then he would start flipping them behind his back, and then he'd go through his legs, and then he'd spin around in circles, and he got really serious about it, right? The point of me sharing that with you is that I got to spend that opportunity with Ben and then got to live the successes with Ben for years and years after that. Now, he far surpassed the teacher, didn't he? Far surpassed the teacher. I got nothing. But the point is that we teach somebody how to juggle, not for the point of juggling. We teach each other how to juggle because it's something that I enjoy. It's something that somebody else may not know how to do or that they enjoy also. And it's something that we can unite and do something together. Okay? So Joshua and I now have a special bond that he and I have that nobody else in this room has with Joshua. You see how that works? Mm-hmm. Imagine if that was your life every day. That you can make some kind of a special connection, a unique draw between you and another human being every day of your life. Do you imagine how many people that you'd know after a while?
Yeah.
Okay, this is going to expand here a little bit later. It was 2008. I was going to First Baptist of Eugene, and I was a disgruntled Christian churchgoer. I was really frustrated about what was happening in First Baptist. We had a group of volunteer men had developed a men's program that was thriving. Hundreds and hundreds of men coming together almost every week for in a myriad of different ways: knife building, woodworking, mountain climbing, rock climbing, primitive survival, working on building classic cars, body work. Now, how many of you guys resonate with any of those things? Oh, almost everybody, right? There's going to be one of those things you guys can be like, well, that'd been fun. We actually had men who were teaching other men in all those areas. And then all of a sudden, we had a consultant come in to our church that told us that this was a waste of time. Some of the greatest relationships I still have today were because of the connections that were made through common interest through those men in that church. And during that time, I had a guy come up to me. I was running a then very prospering mountaineering school, so we taught 11 to 19-year-olds everything from ice climbing, rock climbing, primitive survival, high altitude mountaineering. We did training. We had 33 trips a year that we did all over the Western United States, Canada, and Mexico. And so this mountaineering school that I had birthed was doing really well. And so this guy in my church came to me during my frustrated time, and he said, "Hey, I've heard about this Ice Axemen Incorporated that you have going on. I'd really like to be a part of that." And I'm like, "Oh, great. We could always use volunteers." And I said, "Hey, tell me a little bit about your climbing history." And he says, "Well, I don't have any." And I looked at him right in the face and I said, "You're gonna die." Like, in my heart, I just was like, "What? Dude, like, do you have no clue at all what is encompassed in mountain?" That was what I'm feeling inside. I was just like, I was just frustrated. Just a bad time in my life. And so I said, I got to have people who understand the climbing world, the climbing culture. I have a little bit more experience that would be able to come in. And I just said flippantly, really to get them out of my hair, I said, "What are you passionate about?" He says, "Water skiing, wakeboarding, wake surfing, anything behind a boat." I said, "Great, do you have a boat?" And he says, "Oh yeah, I got a boat and I got a truck to pull it." And I said, "Why don't I just find some kids who want to learn how to water ski?" Like, sarcastic, get out of my face. Let's move on. I got things to do today. Probably hungry. And he said, "That would be amazing. I could do that?" And all of a sudden, a little light bulb went off in my head. I said, "Hey, why don't you send me some understanding about what kind of boat you have?" He goes, "Yeah, give me your email." So I get my card, blah, blah, blah. I get this email from him. He's got a 28-foot Nautique, one of the most expensive boats at the time, holds 16 people in this boat. This is not just some little ski boat. 7.2-liter turbocharged, 650 horsepower. I'm looking at the, he sent me the schematics of this boat, and I'm going, "That's not a ski boat. Like, I've been in ski boats. That's not a ski boat." And it's got a picture of his humongous truck that he has to pull the thing. So, Lord orchestrates it perfect. The next day, I'm at school, and I'm sitting at South Eugene High School. I'm sitting with a bunch of kids, and this kid, like, four seats down from me, talking to one of his friends, he says, "You know what I want to do this summer? I want to learn how to water ski, but I don't know anybody with a boat." I'm going, "That just happened." And I lean over and I said, "What if I could connect you with somebody who has a boat?" That day completely changed my life and my understanding about what ministry could look like. So his name was Mark. So I called up Mark, and we got all the paperwork done to be able to insure his boat through Youth for Christ. And his rig and the whole deal. And the first day Mark showed up after school, he's got his truck and his boat, and I went out and I met him, and I have two boys with me. That boy and that boy's friend. Neither of them knew how to anything to do on the water. And so we went up. Mark was nervous. He pulls me aside as these boys are loading their stuff, and he says, "What do I do?" I said, "Teach them how to water ski. And tell them your story. Ask about their story. Where do they come from? What do they know? What are they passionate about? Just get to know the boys." Well, he calls me when they got back. He says, "I have never had so much fun in my life getting to know two complete strangers over water skiing, juggling, any kind of passion that you have." Mark calls me. Weeks went by. His popularity, if you will, came greater and greater, you can imagine. I was writing checks like crazy, filling this guy's tank full of gas. That's expensive when you have that big of a boat and that big of a motor, but it was money worth me raising for him. Yeah. He calls me up, he says, "Dana, I've got some really bad news. I have to sell my truck." I'm like, "Mark, what's up? You having some problems?" He goes, "Man, it's not big enough." I said, "What's not big enough?" "The truck's not big enough. I can't haul enough kids. I only have 6 seatbelts. I need one of those diesel Ford excursions. Can you find me one?" And I said, "That's a problem I can handle. I like that problem." So started making phone calls, sold his truck, got him an excursion. You guys understand that today, I need you to understand that today Mark is still doing that ministry. That was 2008, 10 years ago, that he started taking kids out. No church structure. No bulletin inserts, no accountant, no pastoral permissions. He's combined with some other fellas and a couple other ladies, and they have a thriving ministry sharing Christ with kids. So he's got a rule. You can't get in the water until you hear about Jesus. That's his rule. You know how many kids line up now to be able to do that? I left Eugene in 2011. Did I need to be there to govern Mark in his ministry? He owned it. He owned it. The gospel of play. What does Mark love to do? Is it mountain climbing? He just wanted to be a part of the ministry. Mark loves water skiing. Let's open your Bibles, if you will. You guys have probably heard of this section of Scripture, Matthew 28, 18, the great suggestion. I think it's up on the screen as well, but I'd like you to keep it open. He says, and Jesus came and he said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Now, if you're like me, I'm talking male, you look at this great commission, and I imagine you see that "go" word, and that gets you a little fired up, doesn't it? Because men go. That's what we do. We fight battles, we win wars, we achieve, the go part is easy for us. The thing that pops into my head is how long, how far, with who, which way, how much is it going to cost me in time and money, right? And then also we see a product in there, don't we? Make disciples. Great, that's what I got to do. Done, I'll make disciples. I can do that. It's like making a widget, right? Framing the outside of a house, building something out of concrete block. You know, that's what men do. We go and we accomplish. So I get a little frustrated when I read this section of Scripture because I'm thinking, come on, Jesus, if it's all about baptizing and it's about making disciples and we hear phrases like God made, you know, this God-shaped void in all of our hearts, and God's revealed himself in every way through creation, and Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life, then this should be really easy, and we should have all kinds of people just flocking to want to understand who Jesus is and get saved, right? Shouldn't it be that way? Doesn't make this go and this widget making discipleship very easy, does it? Why don't people want that? Well, that's not the question I think we should be asking. I think the why would they? Why would people want the gospel? Why would people want the truth? Think that through real quick. I mean, the Bible itself, 1 Corinthians 1:18 and 20, paraphrase, "The things of Christ are folly to the unsaved mind." So we can go and we can make disciples, we can preach the gospel, and people are going to look us right in the face and say, "I want nothing to do with that. I want nothing to do with it." And we, in our human nature, we live in this mindset that is the Great Commission is something that we do, because it has this go statement in it. We so often think that somehow that we are taking people from a point of unsaved or immature to a point of saved and mature.
Let's go, bro. Come on.
The problem is the Great Commission is a be statement. It's a product of us becoming a new creation in Christ. See, Jesus is telling this to people that have surrendered their hearts and souls to him, and then he says, "Go and do all these amazing things. Teach them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit all that I have commanded." That's because their life has been transformed, that they're able to do that. See, oftentimes in our Christian faith, we think, "I'm going to go and make disciples and therefore become a better Christian because of the people that I'm surrounding myself with." No. A response to the finished work of Christ on the cross that we go and we make disciples. Jesus did it before I go. Not, "I'm going to do this for Jesus." Big difference, right? I want to do it. because I love Jesus. What does being a new creation infer, friends? That there was an old, right? You can't become a new creation if there wasn't an old one. We are then disciple makers in every aspect of our lives because of this new creation status in Christ. Guys, we don't get out of bed in the morning and reach over to our stand next to our bed and, you know, you reach around for something, you knock your gun on the floor or whatever. You know? Like you've never done that. Come on. Bam! Lands on the floor. Wife's like, what's that? Nothing. Nothing. You don't reach across there and you pull out your little button that you put on and it says disciple maker. Right? Look what I get to wear today. I'm disciple maker today. Tomorrow I'm a son of God. You know, the next day, it's Sunday, I'm a church guy. No, we don't do that. We don't do that. We wake up every day a new creation in Jesus. Therefore, you are a disciple-making disciple, whether you want to be or not. Get over it. So if you're sitting here right now saying, I don't have, Dane, what you have, or maybe what Dave has, or some of these other guys, or the people that you see up front, I would say, good. We're a bunch of dorks anyway. Be you how God's created you in your special disciple-making capacity. And we're going to bring that out in you here in just a minute. It's going to be fun, every one of you. So how does this roll into the gospel of play? Look at 1 Corinthians 12:4 through 7. It'll be up on the screen. It says, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are a variety of service, but the same Lord, and there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. I was on my way back riding a motorcycle to the Arctic Circle and back from Portland. 11,500 miles, 22 days on a bike. That was a really bad mistake. I spent the next 3 weeks with nerve damage in both my shoulders and my elbows from riding my dirt bike. Two back-to-back days of 750 miles or more. 750 was the lowest day. It was brutal. But I got to hear our very own Dave York preach a sermon that I had in my helmet. I knew I was moving to Roseburg, so I had sermons downloaded from pastors all over this area. I wanted to see what Roseburg preaching was all about. And Dave preached on this verse, and it stuck with me ever since I heard it. And it was actually one of the reasons that we decided to come here. So we didn't even go look at any other churches. I just knew. I didn't know what Dave looked like. I was really disappointed. I was hoping for like 6'4" and just, you know, strapping, but yeah. And then he's a baseball coach of all things. What are the varieties of gifts?
Varieties of gifts.
Now, this falls smack dab into sections of Scripture that really lay out spiritual gifts, right? But Paul takes a little pause right here as he writes this. So, varieties of gifts, varieties of services, varieties of activities. Now, do your thoughts automatically go to the things necessary to function inside these church walls when you hear that? I do. What's necessary to keep this church going is what comes into my head when I see gifts, services, and activities, right? But I don't think that's what Paul's talking about. Paul's talking about you as an individual being uniquely built, equipped, and gifted for gifts, services, and activities, whatever God's given you. And I've had people raise their hand before and just say, I don't know, man, you're stretching that verse pretty far. I was like, really? How many people are there in this world, and how many different folks are there? Right. Millions, billions. Do you don't think that God has a plan for each one of those individuals to bring glory to himself? Absolutely does, in how they're uniquely built, right? I don't know about you, but Does the Holy Spirit leave Mark, the water ski boat driver dude, when he's in his boat? Does it? No. Does the message of the gospel diminish because he's on water and not land? Are the ears of the kids in his boat closed because they're on a boat? No. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that lives inside Mark, which is the same Spirit that's given to those kids who are in that boat listening to the gospel. He uses what he's been given uniquely by God for the glory of God, for the common good. Do you know that there, I don't know exactly the number, but the last time I talked to Mark, there had been over 80 young people who had given their lives to Christ in his boat. He's going to go skiing anyway. All right, let me show you real quick. Perry, if you'd bring up that screen, this is going to be fun. Okay, I'm going to tell you a couple things that I'm passionate about. Biggest no-brainer in here. Race bicycles. You have to pedal those. Right motorcycle up there. Perry? Perfect. Right motorcycle up there. Okay, it could be number two, Perry. It could be number two. Just to bring this home, I'm going to ask a friend of mine to come up here. Brandon Ikolik, would you come up here real quick? So, I really am passionate about dirt bikes, as a lot of you guys know. We own a lot of them, and I love teaching young people how to wrench and ride dirt bikes. So, like Mark, my boat is the realm of dirt bikes. So I teach kids how to take them from nothing and turn them into something great. But I love riding dirt bikes. Now I know why I was given this topic of play. I ride dirt bikes a lot, and what I mean a lot means more than I probably should. It might be an idol. Yeah, it's a lot. All right. And so one of the things that I love about dirt biking is that the guys I get to meet. Now, as you guys, many of you guys may not know, this is Brandon Ikula. Brandon is, he kind of runs FabForm Industries here in town. They build amazing trailers, big giant trailers of all different kinds. And so Brandon is this really super outgoing, charismatic guy who just runs around and he's tooting his own horn all the time. And he's not. Brandon, would you be able to describe yourself, or would you like me to?
I'm a man of few words. So I don't. It takes me a while to open up as far as into to get to know individuals, as far as vice versa, the same with individuals with me, just because I'm not as outgoing as other individuals are.
I don't have one. Can you speak into my chest?
I'm just not as outgoing as other individuals are.
Right. So, I am outgoing, and I'll talk to anybody, anywhere, anytime. So, for me, getting to know somebody, I'm just going to say like Brandon, just for the sake of conversation here, it probably wouldn't happen. I wouldn't get to know Brandon, because if I came up and talked to Brandon on any given day at church or anything, I would probably be like, all right, dude, see ya. I'd go to the guy who's got the big expression on his face and is yapping, and we'd get in this conversation and we'd probably wrestle, you know, that kind of thing. So Brandon and I would not normally be friends. We wouldn't. So what's going on now? You're up here and I'm calling you my friend. What happened?
We met at a home group, as far as I think it was the Bendel home group we were going to at the time.
A little plug for home groups. If you're not in one, you're a loser.
And strike up a conversation regarding motorcycles. I've always liked to ride dirt bikes, and I rode a combination of those and sleds and whatnot. And conversation started. And at the time I had sleds, so it was probably a year or 2 years as far as before I actually got a bike again. And once I got a bike, he was one of the first guys I actually called to go riding. So from there, we started riding, and the friendship kind of metamorphosed from there as far as, and we actually rode today. So
we had more play than you.
Yeah.
years.
Right. So Brandon and I, don't get weird. So Brandon and I have probably ridden motorcycles together. I've ridden with Brandon dirt bikes together more than anybody in this town. I can think of very few times where Brandon is actually not riding when I get to go out with him. So I ride with lots of different guys, but we have built a really strong relationship as well as with Dan Snyder. Dan rides dirt bikes as well. There's many guys. Seth, I got to know Seth really well riding dirt bikes. Pete Pappas, same thing over dirt bikes. Trevor Schisler, talking about motorcycles for years. Cody Bendel, it goes on and on and on. Just the guys in our church. So I don't talk about dirt bikes and work on dirt bikes and get excited about dirt bikes for the purpose of dirt bikes. I like those things because that's how God's built me. But I like doing things with dirt bikes because it involves me with men in our church, right, or other men in the community. So that's dirt bike and motorcycles are up on the list. Thanks, you were very handsome.
Oh, wonderful.
So you tell me, what is one thing that you're passionate about?
Archery.
Okay, don't waste anything. Don't raise your hand. Don't ooh and ah. Okay, just relax. Archery. Okay, somebody else.
Coaching.
Good. Put coaching up there. That's that three. Okay, somebody else.
Backpacking.
Who said that? I'll put a face on that. All right. Backpacking. Okay.
Soccer.
We could say sports of many kind, but we'll just go with soccer for right now. Okay. Now I'm going to stop there. Now, can you imagine every person in this room could probably mention something that would go up and make this list, right? But we're just going to take these five. Now, this is, I'm not a magician. I just can juggle a little bit. But we're going to take these five things right here, and I'm going to show you something, how church is created. Is there anybody that would second, and don't lie, I know who you are, who would second motorcycles or dirt bikes? Raise your hand. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Could you put like an 18 behind that?
Wow.
Okay. That's just representative of the small group that's in here. How about archery? Uh-oh. Yeah, here it comes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Could you put 14 behind archery? How about coaching? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. How about backpacking? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. People just represented in this room. How about soccer? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Do I really need to explain this? Guys, we miss massive opportunities for the gospel being given to our world because we don't, as believers, even unite in the things that we're already passionate about. Could you imagine if those folks that raise their hand for archery in Roseburg alone, do you know how many unsaved people there are in Roseburg that love archery? maybe 40% of every man. Do you know what I'm saying here? What if on the morning that you decide to go knock some arrows, that you make some connections with the brothers that are in this church and say, who do we know who doesn't know the Lord who loves archery, that we could invite to go with us to go shoot arrows, to ride motorcycles, to go backpacking, to play soccer? Do you see how this works? The gospel of play, you guys, you are created unique by God for the common good, to bring glory unto Himself. Don't think that it's within these five walls. You guys need to be free in Jesus to understand that the things that you're going to do anyway because you love it are for His glory. Use them. Use those things and have a blast doing it. big smiles on your face because you get to be with somebody who doesn't know the Lord and shoot arrows. I don't want to go water skiing. I don't want to play baseball. There's all kinds of things that guys are super passionate about. I could give a rip. But that is the unique beauty of the body of Christ, is that every one of us in this room connects to every other man out there that doesn't know Jesus in some way, just like what's up on the board. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then we're without excuse. If people don't want to hear about Jesus, it may be because they have no care for who we are. They don't see the love of Christ because we can't invest in them outside of ourselves. You're going to go water skiing anyway. Bring somebody who doesn't know the Lord. I'm done.
Come on.
This sermon has been proudly given in response to cherishing the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more sermons and information about Covenant Life Fellowship, please visit us at www.clfroseburg.com.